2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and DeGenevieve.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's the ongoing investigation into a horrible hazing incident involving cheerleaders at Desert Hills High School in St. George that is our top story today.
Now, time for the standout. The standout on Dave and DeGenevieve.
Yeah, and this is a sad story. I mean, a story that involves hazing and perhaps a cover-up and blackmail, intimidation. I mean, there's so many things going on here that I think this is why you have to just love teachers and administrators. These are the things that they're dealing with. These kind of hazing incidents are not rare. They happen all the time. And trying to find the right way to discipline, to take care of a situation, to not just sweep it under the rugs, I feel so badly for these administrators.
If you're just joining us and you don't know the whole story, if you have been with us the whole time, you know a lot of the story. We're going to get more of the story in just a moment when we go live to the Washington County School District to get an update on the investigation. But just a quick recap, KSL Television's Alex Cabrera broke this story last night on the 10 o'clock news on Channel 5. And it was an exclusive report that just had all kinds of twists and turns in it. But let's get out to Steve Dunham with the Washington County School District to help us sort through this. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
So this begins, it sounds like, in June with some cheerleaders who were eventually disciplined for a hazing incident involving other cheerleaders at Desert Hills High School.
That's correct. You know, we had a hazing incident that took place about the middle of June. It was reported to the school right at the 1st of July, July 2nd. But the information that was reported was minimized and so different from what came to light this last Thursday. And based upon this new revised information, we felt it was important that we revisit the discipline and consequence that was administered at that time.
Hazing has been going on for so long. I mean, this isn't just a Southern Utah problem. This is an entire high school, junior high, teams, military. This happens all the time. What is the policy when it comes to hazing, knowing that it affects so many schools?
The policy is zero tolerance. For heaven's sakes, you know, it is so frustrating for us to realize that we have a culture that needs to be changed. It's apparent that there's been a desensitizing of parents and students that has led to an acceptance of these types of behaviors. And as you consider that, you need to consider how this came to light. The more meetings that we have had and the more we have looked into this, it has become so disturbing to us.
Steve Dunham with the Washington County School District talking about a hazing incident. Now reopened the investigation. Initially, the incident came to light in the summertime. They dealt with the cheerleaders, and it sounds like you suspended them or gave them some sort of a punishment. But then this new twist in the last couple of days, I want you to get into what that new twist is regarding this father that has now come forward and is now accused of circulating an extended version of the initial video that was released.
You know, exactly. I can't get into the details of punishments. I hope you understand that. But what surfaced on the 5th of September was a video that was so graphic that we actually turned it off and immediately contacted police and turned that over to St. George Police. It appears that this parent, whose child was also involved in the incident, has maintained, copied, and is distributing this inappropriate video of a partially nude juvenile female from the hazing in June. And as we've had meetings through this investigation, it's more disturbing to find out that there is a pattern of intimidation and threats that have gone on for weeks and in some cases longer.
Why is he doing this, or why is this parent doing this?
You know, I can't get into the specifics of that. For some reason, this individual found reason to withhold the videos from our knowledge, and the timing is suspicious to us. And yet, had the video come out in its full light back in July, we would have been able to appropriately address the hazing when it took place, to the benefit and well-being of the victims. And that's what's frustrating. These children have to deal with this and stay quiet, and they're scared. And now even more so, I think.
So what was different from the short video you saw initially to the longer version of the video that has changed your feelings so dramatically from something that you felt could be handled internally to something that gets turned over to the police?
Okay, I have not seen the video personally, but the administrators that have felt it was so graphic in nature that they were unaware of what had actually taken place. I don't want to get into specifics. I think they've been reported by a publication, but it is it's obviously something that's disturbing and was hard for the victims of the incident. And I think for us from the district, it's clear that when students and parents know of these activities and don't come forward, as a school district, we have an obligation to train our students, our faculty, our parents of a culture of zero tolerance of hazing and of behaviors of this type. If this had come forward at the time, if people hadn't tried to protect individuals or minimize, there would be no incident taking place right now with the threats, with the other things that's taking place, and it's just compounded upon itself.
Did school administrators see any video initially, or did they just not see the longer version? My question is, did they see any part of the video in the first incident?
In the first incident, my understanding is they saw a different video shot from a different angle, and it was much shorter, and did not show what actually took place to some of the individuals in the incident.
Okay, so we're talking about different videos. It wasn't just a clip of one video. We're talking about a different angle or a different camera.
My understanding is there are multiple videos with multiple angles.
Steve Dunham with the Washington County School District in the St. George area on the line live with us now, talking about a hazing incident involving cheerleaders at Desert Hills High School. So the case, Steve, has been turned over to police, and they are continuing to investigate. But when Alex Cabrera of KSL Television reported it not only on television last night but also on our show today, there was some concern that the victim wasn't coming forward. And there was a call out to the community to, you know, encourage the victim to come forward. But I'm not under the impression at all that the police cannot move forward without the victim. I mean, there's certainly several things they can do. So what are they doing? Are they speaking to other students? Are they on campus? Are they serving search warrants? Or, you know, what can you give us in terms of the details related to the ongoing police investigation?
Now, I do not know any of the details of the ongoing police investigation. We do have an officer on campus at all times, and that school resource officer is amazing. He is looking out for the best interests of the children. He's there to protect them at all times. I know that the officer or the police department has been in contact with us, and they are continuing trying to speak with everybody involved in the hazing incident that took place. But that is really the limit of my knowledge of what the police department is working towards. I know that I have full faith and trust in them. They are They are good people that are working hard to make sure that that everybody is safe in our community.
Do we have any idea how these kids are handling it? I would imagine this is extremely upsetting to them. And even though we don't know their names, it's such a small community. It's a tight-knit community. The cheer squad is a very small group of girls. I would imagine the community knows the individuals involved. How are the girls doing?
It's very difficult. I think it's very difficult. I think they realize that there were errors made on their part, that they made a mistake, that hazing is not acceptable. But I also think that they're realizing now that it's hard. Let me just say that. I know that many of them are really struggling with this.
Steve Dunham, thank you so much for joining us. Debbie, this has been the story of the day. Really heartbreaking, honestly, to find out that girls were hazing each other in over the summer. And as we were talking to Mr. Dunham, he said what's really disconcerting is finding out that this was a pattern, that this wasn't just an isolated incident. They're finding out that this is something that's been going on.
The story we're going to continue to follow here with our team of reporters and producers at KSL News Radio as well as KSL Television. Next, we want to take a deep dive into the firing or the resignation, depending on who you're listening to, of National Security Advisor John Bolton. It just came down this morning. The president, of course, tweeting it out to the nation. Bolton is gone. We're going to ask Boyd Matheson why.
It's 11:16. Stick around.
Dave and Dujanovic. Are you asking for Dave and Debbie everywhere?
Just say, Alexa, play KSL News Radio.
And stream them on your phone, the KSL News Radio app.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.